Turn back in the book of Genesis chapter 37. I'm on this series called God's Best for Your Life. This is the last message today concerning children. We began out there, first of all, with our infant children, starting out there with shaping the will of our young babies up to age 1, 2, 3, 4, clear up to age 5 and 6. How God wants their wills to be taken and shaped more in His desires and having a submissive spirit and so forth. Then ages 6 to 12 is more about character being developed, how God helps the parents, the mentors, the grandparents, all the folks around the kids that are influential to them to hopefully shape them into a godly character with godly values. And how many folks know that there's many things around us in our media, in our public schools, in our neighborhoods, and so forth, that's trying to bend our children towards carnality, towards their flesh, towards selfishness, and towards everything that seems like it's anti-Christ and not really for Christ. And so we need to be doing what we can do ourselves to take and counteract the powers of darkness. The Bible says, again, the good news is where sin abounds, the grace of God will much more abound. And so whatever you do for your children there with salt and light inside your own life, it really has a lasting impact on your child's life. I've seen how God can take by one sentence, by one hour, by a short time with parents sometimes, change the very course of a child's life in a path they're going the wrong way. How God can take and reverse that, because the word of God says, my word does not return void, but it does accomplish everything I want it to accomplish. Amen. So then last week was about our teenagers. Not the meanagers, but the teenagers. Amen. They are a blessing from God. I believe every year our children are alive is to be a blessing. They're not to become those that are rebellious, cantankerous, and to stay in a realm of self-sufficiency, but God's going to help us to raise our teens up to be those that are soul winners, those that are bearing fruit every single year of their lives, and those that are growing more and more like Jesus Christ throughout their entire teenage years. Amen? There's not need to be a time of future testimonies about how rotten they were and how God turned them around, made them into a good, righteous person. I believe you can be righteous and can be bearing fruit for Jesus during your teenage years in great measure. Amen? Today is about now adult children, and it's called ready to launch, okay? So our desire and our goals for our children are to have, our dream is they would graduate from high school, go to a university, know what their degree is going to be, last there for 4 years, take 4 years of classes and do about 15, 16 hours per semester, breeze right through there with A's and B's, and get scholarships, of course, get their degree, and then find the perfect wife, find the perfect husband, perhaps after college graduation, get that great job there, live a great fairy tale life on the face of the earth, and then take care of us as their elderly parents in our 70s, 80s, or 90s, amen, in their house. That's the dream parents have got for all their children. How many folks realize it does not always work out quite like that upon the earth? We live in a fallen world. We live with folks around us that things take place that surprise them. And so we're going to talk this morning here about some details of what about adult children? How do we launch them out? And what do we see? How do we see God bless their lives beyond in their 20s and beyond their 20s as well? Let's read now Genesis chapter 37, starting here in verse 2, the story of Jacob. And it says, this is the history of Jacob. Verse 2, Joseph, who's being 17 years old. Notice that. Joseph is now 17 years old. He's about ready to be 18 years old, the age of accountability, the age of being a grown-up and an adult as far as the law is concerned. It says he was feeding the flock with his brothers. And it says the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. We're going to see in a moment how that's really a really bad thing that took place in his life and for his life by his own father and by his parents, because he was the son in his old age. Also, he made him a tunic, a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably even one word about him in his life. Jacob and his wife really loved this person whose name was Joseph. There's great favoritism took place there. Those guys, he was favored so much by his own dad. The Bible says, yes, he had made a coat of many colors for him. And we're going to see further on in this message today how that became a great iniquity that caused a great deal of pain and harm and damage to all of Jacob's family and Jacob's sons and daughters as well as the years go by. Sibling rivalry is something that should not take place on a lifetime basis in our lives. We're going to see the danger of that also more so in this message. At age 18, we know that our child can now vote for the next president and the next governor of our state. At age 18, your child can also go join the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, be handling nuclear bombs, nuclear weapons, computers, and things that are highly sensitive there that could actually wipe out sometimes even thousands of people. At age 18, your child can now go to any movie legally allowed upon this nation when they want, where they want, if they want. They can drink any drink offered to mankind legally in most states at age 18. The problem is we don't always see them at age 18 being like an adult in all the areas of their lives. And so we're living in a cultural time where for many of us, there's been a failure to launch our 18 plus years old people into life, into their careers, into their education, the way that God wants us to do that. So I'm going to stop and pray right now and ask for God to give us ears to hear. These teachings here on this whole series about children, some of the things about finances in the next few weeks as well, we'll be dealing very, very deeply with practical realms of wisdom, realms of counsel that can bring to us, I believe, some sharpenings, some things to think about, some things to ponder, but also some things to perhaps even adjust in our own thinking, our own lifestyle, our own actions in our lives. Let's pray today that God helps us get through this and learn the things that God wants us to learn and see focused on by His Spirit. So, Father, I praise You, God, and I thank You, Lord, this day. As we speak, Lord, this day upon adult children, upon launching our children out, Father God, and seeing them prepared for the world at large, I praise You, God, there's a destiny and a calling upon every single human being's life on the face of the earth. Let us be those of God who say, in my child's life and in my adult child's life, I will seek first the kingdom of God. And I realize, Father God, You have their best interests in mind for their lives, their short lives upon the earth. Help me, O God, have ears that hear. Help me have eyes that see by the Spirit. And bring, O God, to me, I pray, even divine wisdom, divine sharpenings. And bring forth, O God, the counsel by Your word and by Your Spirit, Lord, this day that brings forth lasting benefit, lasting results. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Times have changed. As the years have gone by, I know my own dad gave me stories of his own years living on a farm in Missouri. He was a young boy back in the 1920s, 1930s, during the Great Depression. We was going through a thing in our nation that was very much revolved around agriculture. That's why we have 3 months off every summer so all the farm kids could take and work with their parents in the farms and make money for their farms. And so my dad, about age 14, age 13, age 16, was doing adult-type work on a farm in northern Missouri. Many of our adults across our entire nation were like that. They were growing up very fast. In fact, folks were getting married back in that era, sometimes 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age. Then, of course, generations go by. My generation comes up that's called the baby boomers during the time of the Industrial Revolution taking place in our nation, in our country. We were told time and time again, find a job as fast as you can. When you're 16 years of age, go out there and find a part-time job. Start saving money for your college because I'm not going to pay for your college at all. Now, back in that era, I went to Wichita State University in Kansas. Tuition was only $600 per semester. Can you imagine that? $600 paid for 16 hours of classes back in 1976 and 77 in our nation. I paid $100 for all my books for an entire semester. Now one book that my daughter buys costs about $150 to $100, something like that, just one book. And so we paid about $600 for tuition, about $100 for our books. And so with $700 in cash working at a grocery store, I paid cash for my entire 2.5 years there at a secular university way back a long time ago in the 1970s. How many folks know that times have changed? Rent back then was about $200 to $300 a month. If you shared a place with somebody around you, it'd be about $100, $150 a month. Now it's about $900, $800, $1,000 a month for a child to live someplace or a young person to live someplace outside the house. So times have changed as far as finances are concerned. And that's created some new dynamics in this generation also as far as launching our adult children goes upon the earth. So I'm going to pray I can keep these things in mind about the finances, but at the same time keep in mind about the maturity, about the growth, the independence, and God's will being accomplished for our adult children in their lives that are 18 years and older in their lives. You know, I talked in the near past, a few years ago as well, Sarah, my daughter in the front row, got her first job at Sonic Drive-In by her house. My son Daniel got a job at Chick-fil-A restaurant. My son-in-law's got a job right now at Academy. And I'm surprised to hear time and time again about how flippant some young people take the jobs they have today compared to back in the 1970s. They say we have guys that'll not come to work, not call in. They'll show up late. They'll quit by just not showing up. They'll just quit coming to work and just quit their job without any voice, any written notice, any warning whatsoever there. They'll bounce to another job if they can do that. Remember back in my days, the old days, we guarded our resumes very, very strongly, very carefully, because we knew wherever we went from one job to the next, they'd be calling our former employers up and saying, what kind of a worker was this guy? Was he on time? Did he quit right? Did he work right? So forth and so on. Those things are not as prominent today as they were several, many years ago. And so I'm seeing today how the work ethic is kind of changing for the most part. I told my own son-in-law, when you go to Academy, just work all the time. Find something to do every minute while you're there. You're going to find yourself receiving promotions very, very fast. And sure enough, he says, as I work all the time, as I find work to do, he's had about 4 promotions take place now in less than 1 year in a place called Academy. Just by working there, being on time, being at work every day, and trying to find work to do around him every minute while he's at the job and at work. We're living in a different kind of a time and season in our lives as far as our kids and our young adults are concerned today. So I'm going to give you this morning 5 causes of us seeing our children not launching but being tethered somehow, some way to their past, to their childhood. How can we see those tethers get snapped? How can we see those tethers get cut and broken? How can we see our children, our adult children, start being launched out into a viable working a job and so forth, and a family and an education, and being independent with God's help in this earth from the time they turn 18 on in their lives? Here's some issues. I want you to maybe write some things down this morning about this as well. Number one is going to be the parents will not let go. The parents won't let go. First issue about failure to launch, not being ready to launch, is parents who will not let go of their children. I told you guys about 3 weeks ago that James Dobson, his ministry did a survey among 35,000 people across our country of all ages, all races, all backgrounds, and so forth. He found, again, that about 2 out of 3 people that are young, that are children being raised in families, are what he called defiant children, and about 1/3 are compliant children. We had you guys raise your hands up who was defiant and who was compliant, and the defiant ones outnumber the compliant ones 2 to 1, amen? And so that takes place also in our lives. We see in our own family as well. We have like 1 compliant child, I think, and 2 defiant children. We don't name those guys. They'll be unnamed. But I'm saying the defiant ones that are there, God made them like that because they're leaders, they're strong-willed, whatever else, for a good reason. So we just got to kind of work along with that. Amen. But in the same survey, he asked also, what's the number one problem you kids have in your families? 44% said, my parents will not let me become an adult in my life. 44% said, my parents won't let me become an adult. They're stunting my maturity. They're stunting my growth. They're causing me to stay like a little child, hopefully, in the household as time is going by. You're going to be thinking to yourself, well, they don't act like one, like an adult. And so that may be a fact, maybe true. Think about your own self. Back at age 18, you also had some childlike tendencies in your life as well. Amen. But somehow if your parents were wise, they started pushing you forward towards realms of maturity and started finding yourself becoming more and more like less and less like a child and more like an adult in your actions, your attitude, your speech, and the very way you carried yourself in your life. Amen. You know, one good thing I went through in my life by being raised by kind of an abusive stepmother was I learned to wash my own clothes, wash my own dishes, iron my own shirts, hang up my own things, keep my own room clean, so forth, so on, at a very, very young age. When I finally moved out of my house at age 21, went to Christ for Nations Bible School in Dallas, Texas, I was already kind of ahead of the curve as far as being independent was concerned, of washing my clothes, washing my sheets, things like that. But the guys around me, I saw some real struggles take place in their lives. These guys are washing their red shirts with their white sheets and wondering why on hot settings they're getting pink sheets back. Why is my bed sheets pink? Why is my pillows turning pink? Why is my underwear pink now? They go out there and they're all broke from Bible school tuition. They can't afford new underwear. So it's a kind of a bad news type thing. You start learning kind of the hard way. Little by little, There's things I did not learn, was not taught in my house as I was growing up in that place. And God wants to say to parents, parents, let your children go. It's actually also difficult for many parents to actually see their adult children as not being as they were back in their 5s and 10s and 12-year-old period of their lives. Amen? You might have seen that commercial sometime on TV where the man is teaching his daughter how to drive. She now has her driver's license. She's a full adult-looking 17-year-old blonde girl behind the wheel of a car. He sees her as a little bitty 10-year-old girl behind the car there and says, now go ahead and call me. Now phone me. Now be careful. Buckle your seatbelt. And she goes, okay, Dad, I've got it. And she finally backs the car out, I think, and drives off safely, we hope, and has a good rest of her day driving by herself. But many parents have a hard time seeing their adult children as adults. They see them still little 5-year-old, little 10-year-old Johnny and Susie in their eyes, though they're now 19, 21, 23, 25 years of age. I want to say one thing on a side note here, and that is if your pictures around your house are showing you and your kids when they're 5 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, if those are hindering you in seeing your adult children as adults, you might think about taking those pictures down for a season. Because you're seeing some images, you're seeing some visions of what your kids used to be, not what they are today. Okay, so otherwise, they don't bug you at all. You have no problem with them maturing your kids from those images all over your walls. Keep the pictures up. Amen? But I'm saying, you might think about again, am I seeing my child too much as a 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old little goo-goo type child, and they're now 27 years of age, and they're supposed to start growing up now and doing things on their own. How am I visualizing and seeing my child in this life? Number two issue, big issue here for adult children and parents also with them, is the child refuses to launch. The child refuses to launch. Show that picture right now, if you would, please, that I got from our singer named Tiffany Saldana. This is called Tough Love. And that is this, it makes it, oh, you hear the mothers, oh, I could not do that to little Johnny or Susie. I just love them so much. But sometimes, somehow, we need what's called tough love for our sons and our daughters. Amen? The child refuses to launch himself, though, sometimes. They need to understand that just after high school graduation, they're going to go out there and find themselves a job. Amen? Once they graduate from high school, even before that perhaps, find yourself a job. What does job stand for? Job stands for just over broke. My child's going to find a just over broke stage in their lives. They're going to find a job. It's time to start getting some money for themselves, for their own gas, their own restaurants, their own entertainment, their own food, and so forth in their lives. Amen? And so one financial counselor actually suggests to parents of adult kids, he says, you might take and start even charging your child rent after age 18. If they're not going to go to college especially, start charging them rent. Then take that rent money, $200 a month, whatever's going to be there, put it into a savings account and save that money for them when they finally launch out of the place. You might want to give all that money then back to them to make a better launch for them once they leave your house. Don't tell your kids, though, you're doing that. That's what was said by Dave Ramsey, a suggestion there. He says, take that rent money, put it in savings, give it to them perhaps so they leave the house there, give them kind of a launching from that perhaps. But think about some things that are practical to help them out as they leave your house perhaps in that way. This picture here shows the chick being kicked off the nest. You know, in nature, eagles have all kinds of feathers and all kinds of soft things lining the nest for the chicks and babies that are being born. Once that eaglet has now got full feathers and has now got a full beak and full talons and can fly like his mother and father can fly, they still don't want to leave the comfort and security of that nest. They like mama bringing back the squirrels and rabbits for them. They don't want to leave that comfort at all. What mama does is mama eagle starts taking all the feathers and all the cushions and all the things that are soft and gentle there and starts pulling them out of the nest and causes all the sharp sticks and the sharp bones to start poking through into Junior's chest and Junior's stomach. She starts making the nest become uncomfortable. Amen? The same thing must take place by parents of adult children many times. Quit making their bed. quit washing their clothes, quit cooking all their meals for them, quit cleaning their toothbrush for them, quit doing all their grocery shopping for them, start making their nest become more and more uncomfortable somehow, some way in your house. Amen? Think about that, because if you, otherwise, they're going to like that room service. They're going to like those hot meals all the time. They're going to like your maid service. They're going to like you cutting the grass all the time. They're going to like all the things you do for them. They're going to stay there for a long, long, long time because things are pretty cushy in Eaglet Nest. Amen? Think about that. Okay, so moving on here again. Good communication also will help you make a peaceful transition instead of a one that actually embitters them in this process in their lives. I would suggest myself, as my own opinion, that if your child's going to go to university or college, because it costs so much to do that, you might encourage them to stay in your house with you to help them to save money during the college years if they go to college in the town you live in your house, okay? But if they do that, treat them like an adult in the house and vice versa as well. You live here, but you do wash dishes. You do vacuum rugs. You do clean the house once in a while. You're like a roommate staying here with us, and you will even pay a little bit of rent perhaps if you can do that or afford that. As far as your tuition is concerned, think about that as well in your life. But also, if your child's going to go from high school into a full-time workforce situation, make a living wage, it is time for them to go ahead and start launching out of your house, making their own way in life. Amen? And I'm saying, don't be the kind of parent, though, that embitters them on the way out and says, man, I sure like to get that bedroom back. I sure like to get my parking space back. And day after day, nag them, gripe at them, complain to them in that kind of way. That embitters your child. Amen? So don't try to embitter them on the way out, but try to communicate with them back when they're 16 years old, 17 years old. Listen, honey, listen, Johnny and Susie. When you turn 18, get out of high school. If you're not going to go to college, this is what I expect of you in your life. That way, when 18 years old finally comes, no surprises take place. They understand fully what's expected of them. They'll make some good, wise decisions, hopefully, in a peaceful transition if they go out of your house and launch out beyond high school graduation, okay? So there should be a distinction made for girls, though, over boys. I would not take and suggest you take and push girls out at age 18 out of your house no matter what. Girls are the weaker vessel, amen? So I'm saying be patient with girls. Girls should be able to stay in your house sometimes clear into their mid-20s, later 20s as well perhaps. And so be patient with them. Make sure you actually talk to them, counsel them, but also at the same time, treat them like an adult in your house. I heard of one Christian parent who had a 23-year-old girl in their house. They had a curfew for her. They would still ground her. They would still even spank her for doing misbehaving things outside or inside the house. That is called failure to launch. Amen? So if your child, if your girl is there, do not take and spank them. Don't ground them. Change the rules for them. Make their life a life like an adult. And about age 29 or age 30, even the girls start launching out of the house probably about that time. You might think about that. About 29 to 30 years old at least, try to get those young girls to move on out of the home, find their own life, their own way in life. By then, they hopefully make a living wage in their lives. That's a whole lot of grace for some folks. Some will say 29 to 30. Are you kidding? I'm saying give folks some leeway and some peace there and take every situation in its own individual merits with God's wisdom and God's help, okay? So moving on, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13:11 goes on and says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is where we get back to that realm that I called real life consequences. Your young adult child must understand all their lives there will be real life consequences for things you do, choices you make, decisions you get involved in your life every day of your life. And so I told you guys again about 3 weeks ago, the Bible says every man carry his own load, his own backpack, his own small weight. But it says also, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. And the word burdens means A load that actually breaks your back that is so big is actually crushing you under the weight of that. So in your child's life, your adult child's life, there may come seasons for them where they may have a burden so heavy on their backs, they need your help for a short season of their lives. It could be recovering alcoholics, addictions. It could be going through an abortion. It could be going through a very, very bad divorce, losing all their funds, all their money to their spouse that was abusive to them. Sometimes our young adult children go through some seasons of burdens. They need their parents' help for a season. Amen? But I'm saying also in that season, be pushing them towards independence and getting back out there on their own as soon as possible with God's help and in Jesus' name, okay? So, moving on again here. Of those who were, of those people again that are saying today, I can't see myself doing this for my kids. I'm saying pray to God's grace to sometimes break and sever some emotional ties that might be actually hindering your child's development in their lives and say, God, help me have the grace, the strength inside my own heart to not let my emotions dictate to me the decision I make for my kids in a negative way and let it be God used for a positive way somehow, some way. In my life. You might also want to communicate to your children, to your 18-year-old sons and daughters, some real life scenarios that might take place in their 20s, in their lives. For example, tell your 17-year-old, 18-year-old what will happen to them if they do get married and then go through divorce. If I get married, I'm 25 years old, don't like my wife anymore, my husband anymore, and I'm going to get divorced from them, what do you parents now expect of me? One of the worst things to do many times is let your child move back into your house with you. The Bible says when you take and cleave to your husband and your husband or wife, you leave your father and your mother. Doesn't mean for just the married life season. It means probably almost all their lives they leave and they cleave. So again, if your kid's going through an abusive marriage and the spouse took all their money, all their funds, great credit card debt, so forth, so on, they might need help for a short season. But I'm saying as soon as you can, get that adult child back on their feet, back out of your house, back in the workplace, back into their own place once again. Amen? One thing is parents also deserve that. You know, we've raised our kids. They've been around for 25, 26 years perhaps. We need also our freedom, our independence, our space as well. Amen? But they also need to grow up themselves and become responsible adults in society and in their lives. Number two, what if they get a DUI? They get caught drinking and driving. They get thrown into jail. What's your answer for them at that point? Let your kid know at age 17, age 18, Johnny or Susie, if you get drunk or get high and get pulled over by the police, get thrown into jail, will you not bail them out? Will you pay their bail? Will you post their bond? Will you get a lawyer for them? Is the sky the limit for all the finances to get them out of their dilemmas there? What will you do when they come for you? Bad boy, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? So you've heard that thing before, but the fact is, talk those things out with your kids in advance before it ever happens in their lives. My opinion is do the least for them possible if something like that takes place in their lives and let real life consequences happen for them. Let them taste the bars of a cell. Let them see the anger on a warden's face. Let them know what it takes to pay for a lawyer themselves and pay that thing off out of their own pockets. That'll cause a lot more growth in them than you saying, whatever my son or daughter does, no big deal. Here's the cash. Here's the money. Here's the help. Just bail them out, get them out, and do it all over again probably a few months down the road. You see that. Your kid will grow a whole lot more if they find some real life consequences take place in things like that. The next thing might be, if I lose my job and I'm totally flat broke, what do I do in life, Mom and Dad? Again, I agree with what Pastor Rob Koch says of Shoreline Christian Center. He says, when you lose your job as an adult child, your full-time job is to find a job. Amen? My full-time job is now finding a job. I want to tell you right now again, they are always hiring paper carriers for the Austin Statesman at $600 a month. They are always hiring those guys. There's 10 places around here as well. You can really find some kind of a job somehow, some way, if you look hard enough right here in Austin, Round Rock, Pflugerville, Texas. Amen? And so if they lose their job, They're flat broke. Perhaps they've wasted their money, squandered their funds on things around them. Let some real life consequences take place for that adult child. It'll grow their character up and help them and bless them in the long run with God's help. Amen. I gave you guys again that scenario two weeks ago, I think it was as well. And that is, again, freedom equals choices. Choices equals consequences. Consequences equals character in the long run. What if my kid also goes into great massive credit card debt and car debt and house debt and finds themselves almost totally bankrupt now? Do I bail them out again and again and again? Do I sign for them for car loans? Do I do that? Those are all questions to be asking yourself, and then talk to your 17-year-old child about that before they turn 18, 19 years old and find themselves thrust out in life and those things take place. Amen? Those are all big questions and things to resolve and think about for your kids before they're 25, 26, and 27 years. Otherwise, you have what's called crisis management. When a crisis comes, then I act. Then I make decisions. Then I communicate. No, do it before the crisis ever happens in their lives. Amen? But if burdens do take place, if burdens do come, it's going to break their back. I'm saying again, call upon God's mercy, use God's wisdom, and do for your kids what God says to do for them and things like that, even as adult children in their lives. All right? The next one, number three issue, is marriage for adult children. Marriage. This is a big issue for adult children because they're all looking to get married sometime in their lives, I believe. Almost all kids that are in their 20s, adults now, are looking to find a spouse sometime in their lives. What are you going to do when they find a relationship or get involved with a boy or girl that you don't approve of and they're 20, 21, 22, 23 years old? What are you going to do? Very, very hairy thing takes place at that point. Let's read now Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27, starting here in verse 46, and see what God's word says a little bit about this also. Genesis 27, verse 46. This is Isaac and Rebekah. They have two sons named Esau and Jacob. And the Bible says that they loved Jacob, and they kind of spoiled him, and he kind of went off on his own, serving God, of course, and God actually favored Jacob in his own spiritual realm as well. And the Bible says Esau became embittered towards his parents because Jacob got the birthright. And Esau said, how can I get back at my parents? Aha, my parents hate Hittite women that are ungodly. I'm going to go find one and marry one. Just to get back at his parents, Esau did this. And so it says here in verse 46, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary and worn out of my life because of the daughters of Heth the Hittite. If Jacob takes a wife of the descendants or daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of this land, what good will my life be to me anymore? You see, she's saying here again, you that are adults, that have adult children, if they marry ungodly wives or husbands, it can and probably will wear you out because they'll be doing things totally against what God's word stands for. What God desires is for their lives. You'll know what God wants for them, but not see it being taken place in their lives. It'll cause great frustration, great angst, great perplexity inside your own heart. It'll wear you out as time goes by in your lives. Hopefully, your adult children will go to you for input and advice on every person they want to bring home to the house and say, this is my new boyfriend, my new girlfriend. They're going to hopefully look for your input and your advice if you train them to do that in their younger years. Amen. We're going to hope for that. Amen. So let's believe God again. We'll be praying here. Father God, help my son and daughter find the spouse that is like you are, with your character, your nature, your desires inside their hearts and lives. May it be, Father God, for them a blessing, not a curse, in Jesus' name. When they bring that young man home, that young lady home, check that person's character out. Did they come across as lazy? Did they come across as incompetent? Did they come across as being greedy? Did they come across as being disrespectful? Did they have respect for the parents of the house? Did they have respect for your own son or daughter in your house? Check all those things out. If you see disrespect there, if you see things that are a wrong character there, point those things out to your child in a one-on-one basis behind the scenes. Amen? Don't just sit by passively and say, well, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. You are still a mentor. You're still a voice. You're still God's heart for your child as long as they're alive. And I'm saying by God's grace, they will look to you for input and for advice on their future spouse in their lives. Amen. I want to say to mothers also, you know, women have a tendency to get toward very strongly towards security, finances, and funding. Those things are all important for your own kids in life. I agree with that. But don't let that be the main criteria for who they actually marry in life. It is their education, the job they've got, so forth and so on. There must be values, there must be character, there must be godly things in them beyond just the finances, the resources, and their education as well. Amen? Look for those things also for your lives. I also want to say right now, pray for them. Pray for your children to make the right choices for their spouse in their lives. Every day, almost every day, Cheryl and I have been praying for our three kids. We say, Father God, cut off what is not of you. And Father God, establish what is of you for our sons and our daughters as far as their future wives or husbands are concerned in this life. We've seen God honor that so far, every single time so far. God's faithful. God is just. And I'm saying your prayers really do avail much as parents because God sees you as the authority in that household. And the Bible says where two agree touching any one thing on this earth, it will be done in heaven. So never, 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 again, embitter your child. Your child's going through a rebellious stage there. They're bringing home guys or girls that are involved in all kinds of sinful practices. Believe that God is big enough to cut that thing off as only God can do. Because I've seen God do that as he can. Us nagging them, griping at them, calling them names, putting them on guilt trips only brings embitterment to their hearts and their souls. We do speak in their lives, but I say also, God, you work in their behalf as only you can do. Amen. With marriage also comes a thing called grandchildren. Now, grandchildren, I'm finding out, I'm going to find out in a few weeks, I hope, are a great blessing in life. How many grandparents say amen? I've seen how grandparents dote over their grandchildren. They love those grandkids so much. And so with grandchildren also comes a brand new ball game because there's actually two sets of parents on both sides of grandchildren. There's the parents of the mother, parents of the father. You got to set your kids down, I think, and have a talk face-to-face. What do we do now with grandchildren in this household? Do we go here on Thanksgiving, there on Christmas? Do we watch these kids sometimes on Saturdays, on Fridays, on Sundays? Try to get some things figured out before the child's even born as a grandchild in your life as well. But also the adult children of parents that are now produced the grandbabies, they must not take advantage of the grandparents. You must raise your own kids yourself, amen? If you're in your 20s now, you get married and have kids, those are your kids, they're not mine. I'll watch your kid for a while, I'll watch your kid for a season, but not 5 days a week, okay? This is your child to raise, you had the child, you raise the child. We had a guy speak here about 5 months ago named Val Taylor from Louisiana. He's got a brother named Delmas Taylor. I spoke at Delmas Taylor's church several years ago. He gave me a very, very funny, kind of a cute poem that has a lot of truth to it. The poem goes something like this. I've seen the lights of Paris, and I've seen the lights of Rome. But the most beautiful lights in all the world is the lights of my kids' taillights taking my grandkids home. Got that right, I think. I don't know how true that is yet, but I will find out. And right now, as our own daughter is having a baby in a couple of weeks here, we can't wait to see grandbaby come on the scene here and be in our house a whole lot. Amen. But we understand they are the parents. You are the parents. You young 20-some-year-old people. It's not the grandparents that raise your kid for the most part. Okay. Number four, siblings is a key issue for adult children. Genesis 37, verse 4 says, but when his brothers... Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. They hated him and could not speak peaceably one word even to him. When parents have favorites among their children, it causes big problems in the household. And I want to say right now, maybe just like Jacob himself, how he favored one child over the other. You might have been raised in a household yourself where you were favored by your parents, or your parents favored your brother or your sister over you. That thing might have gone right through your own soulish realm into your own kids' realm now as they're being raised in your house. If you ever have the Holy Spirit show you about favoritism inside your own household, your own life, your own soul, I say stop, repent of that, and say, Father God, help me see this fracture mended by your grace and by your Spirit, because favoritism always causes problems among kids that get older and older and older in life. Amen. Some of you guys are victims of that. Some of you guys are recipients of that. But the fact is, it still causes harm on both sides of the fence. It brings forth jealousies. It brings forth old hurts at reunions. It brings forth sometimes accusations. And you've seen yourselves how sometimes kids that are now adults that are 25, 29 years old, when they come together as a family, all those old hurts, old wounds, old accusations start coming to the surface in their speech together. That must be dealt with by the adults in the household. I'm going to say to you right now again, if you find your siblings and find your children having sibling rivalry, get those kids together for a family meeting as fast as possible and thrash that thing out verbally as soon as you can. Because if you don't, it'll go into weeks and sometimes months and sometimes years of division, separation, bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. And you might even find those kids not even like each other all their lives as time goes by. I've seen many families who won't even speak to each other, brothers and sisters won't, because of past hurts, past wounds, past bruises, being brought up at family gatherings, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas time, birthday time, whatever. That need not be so in your lives. Amen. You parents, you are the mediator, the arbitrator. You are the peacemaker for your kids all of their lives. And so I'm saying, don't let them get involved in sibling rivalry there and put a schism between them. Let it be healed with God's help and your help as well, in Jesus' name. Last of all, number five. Number five is the issue is called the blessing. The blessing. I want to encourage you guys to go to a Christian bookstore sometime or go online to Google and find a book by Gary Smalley, S-M-A-L-L-E-Y, Smalley, that's called The Blessing. That's a powerful, anointed book about how we as parents can really bless our children in an ongoing basis in their lives. It was a common practice in Israel and Jewish days as well, back in the Old Testament days, for parents and fathers especially to bless their children in a viable way on a weekly basis, every single week, speaking blessings over their children. Before you die, you must release a blessing to your child upon the earth. Let's look now at Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. 49, 28 says this, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them, he blessed each one according to his own blessing. What that means is, Father Jacob had 12 sons. He understood spiritually what the call of God was on every single son's life. Dan, Naphtali, Issachar, Judah, Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, they all had their own specific thing that God called them to do and be on the earth. Jacob knew that. Jacob saw that. Jacob began to lay hands on them, prophesy over them, and bless them according to their blessing before he died upon the earth. It is very, very anointed, very powerful when parents do that for their kids in this life on the earth. Amen? I want you to write down the five ways, the five things that takes place during blessings on your children. Five things that the Jews did who were taught by God on how to bless their children. The first thing, number one, was they would touch them. They would lay hands on them physically. They would impart a blessing on them in a physical laying on of hands way, imparting that to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So touch them, first of all. Number two, they then spoke to them. They spoke words of affirmation, words of confirmation. What they saw God wanted for them, they spoke those words over their lives. You say, well, my child's a scoundrel. My child does all kind of rebellious, sinful things. Don't speak those things over them. You speak what you see the Spirit of God says about your child. Speak the affirming things, the confirming things, the anointed things, the godly things. What does God say about your child? You speak that over their lives. Amen? There's power in your words, power in your blessings. Number three, they then spoke a word of value to them. Rebecca was told by her own father, she left her father for good, forever. Her father said to Rebekah, he said, may the Lord make you a mother of millions in your life. She became the mother of nations because of her own father's blessings as the years went by in her life. You see, there's power and anointing in the words of our mouth that confirm what God says about your child somehow, some way. Number four, a prophecy of their future. Again, Jacob and the 12 sons, he gave a prophecy about their future to every one of them, one at a time, prophesied what God said about them in Jesus' name. God's already shown us things about Sarah's future, about Daniel's future, about Christian's future. We prophesy those things about them and for them, that it takes place and happens in Jesus' name, that nothing sidetracks what God wants for them. And we say, Father God, bless them, give them increase, give them resources, give them favor, give them wisdom, give them timing, give them anointing, all the things they need to have in life. We say, God, pour those things in their lives in Jesus' name. And we see how God honors that. God will use that in mighty ways. Last of all, number five, they made a commitment also to them. They said, I will be with you in all of your future, good or bad, in your life. One more thing I want to say about Pastor Rob at Shoreline Christian Center that struck me so strong, so heavily years back when I was going to church out there that I thought was such a good, godly thing to say and to give us an illustration of that as well. He said, back when I launched out to Oral Roberts University, I started going to school there, I began to wonder, how do I pay this tuition every single semester? Thousands of dollars every semester. His own dad said, son, as you leave my house and go to ORU to college, I want to say one thing to you. That is, if you go totally flat broke and can't pay your tuition and fall on your face, I will always be here for you to be your father, to be your dad, to be your guidance, your counselor, even help you out somewhat for a season if things go rotten in your life. It's always good to have a parent let their children know if things go totally rotten, totally bad in your life, a burden gets on your back that is so big it's going to crush you, I will always be there for you. And with God's help and God's grace, we'll get you back on your feet again and see you carry the load, the small load God has for you in your life. Amen. I believe parents need to take and affirm their child, confirm to their children, I will always be there for you with my love, my care, my graciousness, my warmth, my love. As a prodigal son's father, he took the ring off his finger, he ran towards his son, kissed him, held him, hugged him, and said, you're my son. You were lost, but now you're found. Kill the fatted calf. Bless his life. My son has returned, and I rejoice in that. Confirm, affirm, bless, prophesy to, do things for your kids' lives, lay hands on them, and see how God imparts blessings to them for your adult child, okay? I'm going to close right there and let James come back to the platform, please, to help me out. I'm going to pray this morning here in a way that is going to help us, I believe, to have an opportunity today to say to God, Father God, if I have made mistakes in my past, you might be saying right now that your kids are already in their 30s, in their 40s, they're in their mid-20s. You did not know things like this years back when your kids were only 18, 17, 19 years of age. You say, how do I fix things now that took place years ago that I don't see how I can change those now that my kids are already going through these things in their lives? The old fairy tale says, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I have a hard time saying that. The fact is, man cannot do that, amen? But the Bible says nothing is too hard for our God. Amen. Though man can't put the egg back together once again, though that egg stays cracked all over the ground in the natural realm, the Bible says God took Job's life that totally fell apart and crashed asunder, and he paid back double for everything Satan stole from him. God restored also his joy, his peace, his favor, reputation, his name, his children, his family, his goods, his livestock, his household, his crops. All things came back to him because God turned things around quickly and fast, as only God can do. Humpty Dumpty cannot be helped by man, but he can be helped by God. If you've gone through a time and you're saying this morning, Pastor Mike, again, my kids, my children are already beyond 18, 19, 21, 23 years old. I'm already doing some things right now to enable them, to keep them as a child in my own house. I still have some control over them. I still discipline them. I still do things I did for them back when they were only 15, 13, 14 years of age. But I want to see my adult child stand on their own two feet. I want to see them blessed in life and not cursed. I want to see them grow and become everything that God has called them to become upon this earth. But I also want to receive wisdom that I might act and do those things, honoring in God's sight towards my adult child. Let's pray right now, all of us that are here today, whether you're a parent or not, that God gives us wisdom with adult children in this church, in our sphere of influence, in our workplace. Because God's going to use not just their mother and father, but God's going to use you also to give to them counsel, wisdom, guidance, direction, confirmation, and blessings. So, Father, I pray right now for all those that are here in this room today that you would take and give us, oh God, your continuous wisdom to deal with our adult children, Father God, in our house, outside of our house, and for the future as well, oh God, in Jesus' name. As our teenagers, Father God, become adults, help us, oh Lord, to make that transition with them, Father God, to see them not have a failure to launch, but to see them, oh God, launch not embittered, but blessed and in peace and in joy and in timing and in favor. I pray, Father God, as well, you forgive each one of us for things we've done that's been rebellious, that's been a lack of our own wisdom, God, our own abilities. There's also been neglect. Forgive us, oh God, of those things we've done to hurt or harm our adult children. Help us, God, realize again, nothing is too hard for you. You can redeem the time. Though those days might have been evil for a season, they now can be redeemed, oh God, by your word, by your spirit, by your grace in this hour. Father, I say redeem the time. Make up the time I had neglect, the time I did things to enable, the time I did things, oh God, that were unwise or in the flesh towards my adult child. I pray, God, forgive me, but also, God, redeem the time in Jesus' name.